Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and HappyTrees.co. Hey, first, want to thank Mark Poff for filling in for us on Monday. Thomas was just filling us in saying he had a great show. He always does a great job. And wanted to let you know it was well worth it because Rev had a golf tournament on that Monday and another one yesterday, and he and his partner Cam won both tournaments.
Yay.
So hooray, hooray for them. When we have more golf tournaments, but not for a while. No guests today, so I want to let everybody know, feel free to put your comments up there in the, if you're listening to us on Zoom in the chat, or if you want to unmute yourself and go ahead and comment that too.
Or call in.
I'll call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Want to start out talking about, I know this is going to shock you guys, yet another DOJ lie that the corporate media was very happy to parrot. We're talking about CNN the other day, breathlessly played the tape of a meeting with Trump, where he was meeting with somebody who was...
two campaign workers.
Yeah, campaign workers, and they were writing, I think Meadows was writing a book. Anyway, it was a somewhat innocuous meeting, non-political meeting, and you've heard it where he's talking about what an idiot Mark Milley was for wanting to invade or start a war with Iran, and Trump was like, no, idiot, that's an idiotic idea, and he talked about that there were some classified documents. Now, they released the tape. They've been setting us up. First, they told us that Trump was talking about, he had classified documents. He's referencing classified documents, right? Then, so we all knew. Then they released the tape. Now, I believe that was planned. That was a two-stage thing, right? So all the media are breathlessly trying to get their hands on the tape. So then the DOJ, in spite of the gag order, in spite of the fact that the judge told Trump he can't talk about anything related to it, right? The DOJ leaks evidence that was, it gets interesting. They leak evidence ostensibly tied to the case. Except as it turns out, as people are now reporting, even CBS forced to report, Jack Pobosik, if I say his name right, he reported this back on June 10th, that there never were any documents found that would be anything like the documents Trump was talking about. They didn't find any memo from Milley talking about war plans for Iran. They never found any of those, and that they didn't exist, and that the DOJ was sort of bluffing on this. Well, now even CBS is apparently saying that that's true. Okay, that there is not. And then, so basically, without the classified documents, CBS went on to further say this whole Iran memo isn't even part of the case. They don't even bring it up. The prosecutors don't even actually bring it up in the charging document. So basically, this leaked audio tape and the leaked information that everybody is breathlessly saying proves that Trump is dangerous and is guilty isn't even part of the case, which begs the question, why did they release it? But we'll get back to that later. But this is something that Trump was insisting. You had Brett Baer, oh, shocker, fell hook, line, and sinker for this. Why were you holding on to such dangerous information? And Trump kept saying, I wasn't. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. So if we could please play Thomas the Trump number one soundbite, where he explains what he was actually talking about.
I said I couldn't, but that wasn't a document. Brett, there was no document. That was a massive amount of papers and everything else talking about Iran and other things. And it may have been held up or may not, but that was not a document. I didn't have a document per se. There was nothing to declassify. These were newspaper stories, magazine stories, and articles.
I'm just saying with the indictment.
Why, Brett? That's a lie. The indictment doesn't say that at all. The indictment says zero, which actually, coincidentally, if you had read the indictment, you know, before you said it, really.
It's long.
Well, yeah, I got it. Brett's a big guy.
But he says he He knows it because it's in there.
And, right. And it's not in there, right? I mean, so hello. So he was, what a sloppy journalism, and I use the word loosely there. And then Trump kind of reiterated that again, saying, they kept saying, well, he's flashing around this, well, it, and they didn't even say it was classified. They said it related to national defense, right? That it was a document relating to national defense. But again, there was no such document, at least not that the, at that meeting or anywhere else. And Trump repeats that again. So if we could please play the Trump number two.
I said it very clearly. I had a whole desk full of lots of papers and mostly newspaper articles, copies of magazines, copies of different plans, copies of stories having to do with many, many subjects. And what was said was absolutely fine and very, very perfectly. We did nothing wrong. This is a whole hoax. This is just like the Russia, Russia, Russia deal.
That's exactly what it is. What you say, it's another DOJ lie where they lie about stuff and then they put it out there and the breathless media.
Well, I mean, you wonder whether Trump's team files, you know, motions to censure Jack Smith and the DOJ or not. I mean, it's just ridiculous that they can go out there and put out false documents.
Well, now, of course, well, Jack Smith would say, I didn't put it out. I don't know who put it out.
Bob did.
Yeah, Bill did or somebody else did. So, but again, to clarify, to go back, because you aren't going to see this in very many places. I mean, CBS, I'll give them that, that Catherine Herridge did report it. So they're making a big deal, CNN, which hasn't backtracked it, by the way. CNN hasn't said, oh, you know what? We read the indictment and the indictment actually doesn't mention anything about Iran documents. Oh, we should have caught that in the first place, right? The reason it doesn't mention anything is because there were no Iran documents. And even Trump is saying, I wasn't even talking about those documents. We were sitting there and I had a whole bunch of newspaper clippings and articles and stuff like that. And he said, I was talking about if there were documents, I could have declassified them when I was president, but can't now. But he's like, I wasn't showing them to anyone. Maybe Joe says the Democrats just make stuff up to a report to avoid the real issues. Well, exactly. Exactly. And so then you might ask yourself, well, why are they doing it? And I think it's your basic lawfare, right? In lawfare, what they do is they come up with, okay, we want Trump in jail. So let's just kind of walk it back. So that's the end. Not let's investigate, see if there's any evidence to prosecute Trump and see what the just sentence would be. No, that's silly. That's the old fashioned way of law and order in America. The new way is to look at people you don't like or who are your political opponents and say, okay, the goal is to put this person behind bars. What do we need to do that? And then if somebody says, well, we don't even really have any actual evidence, you can still say, well, it's okay. We don't.
Well,
actually
you
got to
remember the old saying, there are no rules in love and war. And that's true. And there are no rules in lawfare, because that's a form of war as they view it.
Right. Exactly. And it is a form of war. That's what they call it. You're right. That's why they call it lawfare. And so they do that because they know their case isn't any good. Now, not that that necessarily makes a difference because we have corrupt judges, but they know their case isn't any good. And they just want to get this narrative out there and let people think that everything is bad. So if we could please play the Alina Habba soundbite. This is one of the Trump spokespersons and she was on Fox explaining this. If you could play the Alina soundbite.
And I would, and by the way, all we know is that in the indictment itself, there was no Iran documents named as part of it. Just want the American public to realize that. That document that they claim he had was not part of the indictment. This is desperate times and desperate measures by people
have
that
they
are
found
losing.
It?
Have they
what
the found it?
What document are they talking about?
That's what they're saying it was, but that was not part of the indictment. It doesn't make sense because it's a lie. It's a ruse. They are just trying to distract the American people. That's the name of the game right now in America. It's sad. America needs a fair opportunity to see all facts and have a fair justice system. And that's what I know the president wants to bring back to this country. We haven't seen it since 2020 when he left, but hopefully we'll see it again in 2024 when he wins.
No, and there again is another moronic reporter doing this interview about this extremely important subject who goes, well, now what are they talking about? And then once again, she's like, it's not mentioned in the indictment. So clearly he hadn't read the indictment either. Right? No, none of these are people who are questioning. I mean, do you think if you're going
to
say...
Well, you have to go back to the recording. I'm sure I didn't put it up, but he seemed to indicate that there were documents somewhere, except he couldn't declassify them now. But he wasn't holding those up. He was just talking about the story.
Right, right. Well, exactly. But the thing is, so the DOJ... And I guess it doesn't technically violate the gag order, does it? Because they could say, well, it's not an indictment. So, but again, just because you aren't going to hear this, all you're going to hear is them referencing the audio tape. They're going to say, Donald Trump, it's a smoking gun. He's going down with this. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. This whole conversation, even that's to say, even if he had the documents and even if he was waving the documents around, it's not mentioned in the indictment. It's not part of the indictment. Now, the reason it's not part of the indictment, I'm sure, is because there were no documents, right? It's exactly what Trump said. And if you're Trump's team, I'm sure you're then going through, wait, now what are they talking about? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're lying again. The DOJ, Jeff Smith, they're just number one, leaking it, which would be a felony, and they're lying about it. So you just, you got to understand when they play this soundbite, and
it's,
I think
it's not a felony to leak it. It's a violation of court orders, but not a felony. Not a felony.
Okay. 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 You're right. I guess contempt of court or contempt something like that. Yes. Okay. Which should be a felony when the DOJ does it. But again, keep in mind. So, and you can see them playing it. The way they did this is sort of typical, kind of like when the Wall Street Journal first kind of, or not the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post kind of came out with DNC server hacked, right? They kind of kind of loosely put it out there. Then they start filling in the same usual suspects in the media, filling in the blanks. So here they start leaking, like Trump had these, he was talking about these Iranian documents, highly sensitive, very, very secretive, even though what he was really talking about was Milley's idiotic plan to invade Iran. So, I mean, so it's a plan that was, even if it was there, never went anywhere, nor is anyone planning to evade Iran.
Why in the world did Trump have Milley?
Well, okay, that's a different subject, but
not really.
But I think, though, it's just important to realize, so they kind of leak the fact that this exists, right? Then on the same day that, you know, we're hearing about, well, the same time period, we're hearing about audio tapes of Joe Biden,
right?
Hunter Biden is pleading guilty. All of a sudden now, we get the leaked tapes where Trump is, but it's leaked, not in context. And I think, again, I think Trump and his team, you could see Donald Trump is like, no, Brett, no, there wasn't any documents there. It was all these newspaper clippings. And I was just going to, you
know. Brett didn't believe me either.
No, Brett didn't believe him. And again, and so then CBC or CBS is like.
CDC.
CBS was like, yeah, actually, number one, it wasn't in the charging documents anyway. And number two, it doesn't even exist, at least not that was anything that was found in Donald Trump's house. So that's just something to keep in mind. And it's a tactic they're using and to just sort of.
It's just one of dozens. And we'll go into a couple other ones about how the deep state really works incredibly effectively.
Well, go ahead.
Well, okay. So we've all heard about the IRS whistleblowers who talk about a meeting they had in October of last year in which Weiss, the U.S. attorney appointed by Trump, back saying, I don't really have the charging decisions. Those are other people get to do it. And then they also revealed that Lisa Wolf, his assistant U.S. attorney, stopped them from acquiring about who is the big guy and all series of incredible election interference or prosecution interference ones. And so everybody's saying, well, we're going to impeach Merrick Garland, who deserves to be impeached for lots of reasons. But all those actions actually occurred under Bill Barr while Trump was president. And here's how it works. You start out with an allegation of Hunter Biden, and the IRS finds it. And then it's given off to a U.S. attorney for Delaware, who's a Trump appointee, except he is a moderate Republican and hates Trump. And then he has it. Now, while that's going on, Bill Barr can say, I didn't want to interfere at all. I just gave it to the competent jurisdiction. And then Weiss gets to go, gee, I gave it to Lisa, and I didn't want to interfere with her good work. And then they have him write a letter saying, yeah, I had full authority to do everything I wanted.
About Weiss.
While telling the IRS people he had no authority. And so all these people, when you appoint somebody, like when they appointed Sessions, okay, we got to get rid of him. So they say, oh, you're conflicted because you saw Kislyak for a day or something or a half hour. He steps down and gives it to Rod Rosenstein, who's mad at Trump because Trump blamed the firing of the FBI official on him. And so he just hands off. And so basically, the Justice Department is being run by the special counsel and Andrew Weissman. And that continues on until they give their pathetic report. All the time, you have to understand, no one has to say anything to anybody. You just raise a controversy, let the underlings do it, and don't interfere, because we know they're all going to be deep staters, and they will bury whatever there needs to be buried about Biden. And that's how it works. It's just make a controversial, force the higher up to say, I don't touch it. And then the underlings do the work of the deep state.
And here, and Chuck and I are in a little bit of disagreement on this, so we can see what you guys think. So what happened in this case is, and this is what gives me hope, is you had whistleblowers come forward who said, I mean, it's appalling that you would have this Lisa Wolf, who was one of the U.S. attorneys on it, right? Okay. So she's one of the prosecutors on the case. They have evidence. They want to go search Hunter Biden's house.
The IRS does,
which makes sense, right? You're looking for documents and tax documents. Remember how they searched Trump's house? But anyway, that was different. So they want to search it. And she's sort of like, well, they wanted to ask him questions about, they wanted to flat out say, well, who's the big guy? And she's like, no, we can't do that.
Can't do that.
So there was direct interference there, right? So they had gotten down to the underling level where you had underlings kind of starting to ask questions. They hadn't got these underlings, who are actually pretty high up in the IRS, hadn't got the official memo. They're
not high up in the IRS. So they're senior officials, not high up.
They weren't interns, I guess, is what I mean.
No. They're 14 or 15 year
right.
agents.
But they hadn't gotten the memo about how they're supposed to be corrupt. They thought mistakenly, foolishly, they were just going to investigate a tax situation, right? Which they thought seemed to be felonious. So she says, no, we're not going to ask about the big guy. They're like, well, that seems like an obvious question. They're like, don't go there. Not going to go there. And so then they're like, well, we have the search warrant. And she goes, well, you can't execute it yet. They're like, why not? And she basically says, because I have to call Hunter Biden's attorney and let him know, which of course then she does.
And then another one where they want to interview about 12 people. When it came down, they could interview one for a short interview. I mean, it was leaking.
Kind of like the Hillary Clinton, right? Where they can interview Hillary Clinton. But well, so here's though where Chuck and I differ. I see. So the deep state to exist at this level where no one has to write memos or emails or give
no one has to communicate at all.
No, because they all know what they're supposed to do. But the more it gets exposed and the more, and this is where Congress has to act, the more the more you can hold people like the bottom level under like Lisa Wolf accountable. Right. Then the harder it gets for them to continue this winky winky, you don't have to communicate. So if you then have if they could prosecute or do something to Lisa Wolf, the next time she's supposed to throw the investigation away from the Bidens, she might just say, you know, I need that in writing. You know, I need.
Well, let's assume somebody has to communicate that to her. They don't have to communicate to her.
Well, what if she just? But next time she might say no. I guess is what I'm saying.
No,
next
who? Time, there's nobody to say no to.
Well, next time she might just let him say, "Well, you can go ahead and execute the search warrant."
Oh well, that's like Kleinsmith. Right. Kleinsmith is an attorney for the FBI, and he fraudulently changes the entire meaning of a document saying he is an agent of the CIA, and he's not an agent, and right. So he changes it. He's not. What happens to him? I mean, he was the most punished person. Well, he's practicing law happily in Washington, D.C., and a hero.
It's a little bit of hope, but I'm just saying shining sunlight on everything is always good. And here's from Jim. Start prosecuting the one closest to the case as an offer immunity to get up the chain to the top. Yeah, and
there's no chain. That's what people don't get. There's no chain. Nobody has to do anything.
I know, but my point is...
Lisa Wolf doesn't have to say, because I'm sure... Weiss didn't tell her, hey, kill this thing. And Weiss did not tell who would have been. I guess it would have been the Attorney General. No, he didn't have to tell the Attorney General.
Garland,
gee, you didn't give me authority. I mean, there's no way to go up the chain because it's independent.
And even better is if now that you have whistleblowers, even better, and this is a hope, that you have people actually start doing their job.
No, I mean, it's not going to happen.
Well, I think it could. I think it could happen. I know. Well, that's our only hope, really, is that you get somewhere along the line. Elisa Monaco says, no, and I guess you're right, which is why we maybe need to completely clean house.
Yes.
You need to get people in
you
there.
You need to redo the whole, not just the top couple of people. You've got to make it so you're no longer hired from Ivy League schools
right.
with all woke attorneys and stuff. You got to
figure out how to get people who really are unbiased.
That's right. And Jim says at least put someone in jail. You know, and here's what I say too, Jim. Why are like red state prosecutors not doing that, right? Why are prosecutors, and I mean, I don't know, like you said, find something. Hunter Biden flew over, you know, whatever state on his way to commit, you know, sex trafficking and drug dealing. So let's go ahead and just prosecute him. I mean, we need to, and you're right, because they don't worry about, you know, the facts or evidence to throw people in jail. Look at January 6th, right?
Well, here's the thing. Look at now saying, McCarthy said, okay, we will consider impeaching Garland. Mm-hmm. But first we have to talk to him and find out what he has to say. When is the time that he's going to appear before him?
Like, never.
September.
Oh.
So June, July, and August, September.
He's going to be busy. Well, no, well, exactly. And I think what happens is, it is, as you said, McCarthy is part of the deep state too, right?
Yes.
It goes back to these guys all know, Bill Barr knows, no one's going to ever actually ask him all the, maybe Jim Jordan.
Nobody says all this corruption occurred during your reign.
Right.
The entire thing. And he can say, I just didn't want to be political. I trusted the U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney said, you know, I trusted my assistant U.S. attorney. And she kind of go, I just did what I thought was right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they all, you know, no one's going to jail. No one's being punished.
Including Hunter Biden.
I mean, if, you know, well, the worst thing that can happen to you is maybe you get a contract with CNN or you're appointed to a unit for ethics.
Right, yeah, like, Fauci, like, right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, Fauci.
He just got appointed to someplace.
Yeah, yeah, they're always appointing 82-year-old professors. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
be 82 and try to get a job at a university.
Well, so that anyway is, and I think you're right, that it all ties in.
Yes.
And they all knew that, and these whistleblowers are throwing a wrench into the whole thing, which of course made them immediately move them off the case. But I do think, though, it can't hurt at the very least to expose the sunshine. I want to move on to something else.
The trouble is, sunshine to who, which is really our next subject.
Right.
Oh, exposing this, I promise you, assuming you have any liberal friends left, they know nothing about this.
Right.
Nothing. And the whole Russia hoax, you talk to your liberal friends, they have no idea what you're talking
they
about.
They think that Donald Trump and Russia colluded and hacked the DNC.
Yep.
They have no idea that all of that has been completely proven a lie that was made up by the Clinton campaign.
They still think that the Hunter Biden laptop was
hoax.
Russian disinformation.
Right.
They still believe that.
Right.
You can just go down all the list of things that you know to be true, which hurt Biden and helped Trump. And it's not reported on any of these, not ABC, NBC,
and
CBS,
the New York Times,
Colorado, public radio, public television. I mean, none of them.
No. Well, and even the Washington Times and the New York Post will kind of skew it, depending on
because they hate Trump too,
but
like
too.
They want, because Phil Anschutz wants Ron DeSantis.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about here too a little bit is there's an interesting column in Real Clear Politics about the state of the, he called them legacy media. I'm not going to call them legacy because that didn't
left-wing corporate media.
Yeah, left-wing corporate media. There really is anymore I almost like two worlds that we live in this country.
Yes,
and I think you get a third, it's not really a silo, but and I think a huge group of people that actually wisely don't trust the media, but they just have decided not to pay attention, which I think is dangerous. I think we have to be paying attention. But I think you're absolutely right. I think if you were to ask a liberal friend, and I have some on Facebook, right, and they still put up stuff about, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, being misinformation and Trump lies.
Well, James Clapper says, I've never seen anything that disavows, proves that it wasn't Russian, which just means, of course, you never will because you're trying to prove a negative.
Nobody pushes back on him.
No, everybody's, oh, yeah, okay, James, you know,
you're telling
the truth.
They just lie. And the thing is, they know they lie. And I think on the left, the end justifies the means. So they don't care that they lie, right?
Well, everybody's been lying for so long that lying doesn't matter anymore. I mean,
right.
You get people from Rishi Sunak telling everybody, you know, he goes on the British television to tell everybody that he's cutting down all the immigration to Britain. Well, he's doing none of it. He doesn't care. He's lying.
Yeah.
Or he says, we cut it down 10%, which is woo-woo, you know, a slight variation for a day. I mean, everybody you know, when Zelensky goes on, says, oh, I'm canceling the election. He says, that's what you do during wars. You cancel
elections. Well, but we'll get to that in a
after
second.
After the war's over and we win, we'll have no election. Sure, we will.
To be in another war. So this is from Sandra. When is a politician supposed to be making $175,000 a year, which I think is too much, she says, is actually a millionaire, something is askew. We need to look into their finances and see where the hell that extra money is coming from and if the politicians are selling out this country. I think they are. One of the ways they do that, Sandra, is speaking fees, right? I mean, that's one way you can launder money. You know what I mean?
They're good enough. They do tons of insider trading.
Right, exactly. And then I agree from Jim. I agree, Chuck. It has to be cleaned out. Maybe we could get Prigozhin.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything these days.
We could get a recruitment drive over for the Ukrainians.
It is tricky, though, in this day and age because and you're absolutely right. I don't even know how you talk to people who still think that the vaccines worked, right? Who still think that you should be wearing a mask because I could give them COVID because I didn't have the vaccine. It's like,
well, what's her name? Lauren Taylor Lorenz, Washington Post communications reporter. She has a wonderful thing. We should bring that on for
Party Friday.
Party Friday, which is, I cannot believe, you know, they made me remove my mask before entering the plane.
The TSA checkpoint.
And, you know, how dare they expose me to all this? And then all pictures of her partying up with no mask.
Yeah, some of those people are just hypocritical, but I think you are right. I mean, when the corporate corrupt media doesn't cover both sides, and now maybe we wouldn't cover both sides, but we have to. When you're the side that's under attack constantly, you're obviously aware of the attack, and then you have to refute it. So you are at least aware that there's another side that's wrong, right? From Sandra, politicians work for us, hence we should be able to look at their financial statements.
They wouldn't lie about it, would they?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they figured out how Hunter managed to get money without having to report the taxes. So he would get money from a Chinese corporation, and then he'd get money from a Ukraine corporation, and then give it to the Chinese corporation. So he never was involved, and the Chinese people would loan him $5 million back.
Right.
And I didn't get any income.
Give it to his children. Yeah. Well, the Bidens have set a whole new standard, right? I think there was a time, as you said before, where if you were a politician, you knew the payout came after, you know, afterwards.
There is no after.
But now the Bidens are like, they're like, oh no, we've been bribing people from the very beginning. It's so much cheaper. You have money in your pocket. But I want to switch then to yet another sort of corporate media story that they're not playing up. They've been telling forever that we have to fight the war in Ukraine for democracy.
Yes.
That Zelensky is the poster child for democracy.
If there's no democracy in Ukraine, there's no democracy in Colorado.
In Colorado or America or any place else like that. Except for the fact that Zelensky just canceled all of the elections, which I think is kind
for
of funny.
Year.
For next, well, yeah, we were supposed to be, I looked this up, so there was supposed to be an election a certain period of time after his election, right. And that would have been in March of 2024. Now, how does he know the war won't be over in March of 2024?
Well, he says if it is, you know, we'll have an election.
We'll have an election.
If we win,
yeah.
That'll be a fair, free and fair election.
Right now, you know that the Ukrainian thing is at least going to be going on through March of 2024, right?
Because it'll never end.
Yeah, it'll never end. But Tucker Carlson hilariously points this out. If we could please play the Tucker number one soundbite.
As Pelosi puts it, the Ukrainian people are fighting the fight for their democracy and for ours as well. That's right, for ours as well. Without Ukrainian democracy, in other words, we can have no democracy here. If the Ukrainians aren't free, neither are we. We must make sure they can vote in Kiev so we can continue to vote in Kansas City. It's really that simple. And yet tonight, we regret to tell you that we have a problem. It looks like they're not going to be able to vote in Kiev anymore. And no, for once, it's not Putin's fault. Democracy in Ukraine seems to be suspended by the world's foremost democracy advocate himself, Field Marshal Zelensky. Watch this.
Чи будуть в Україні наступного року вибори?
Це ж питання глобальне. І якщо ми переможемо, то будуть. Значить, не буде військового часу, не буде війни. А вибори повинні проходити у мирний час, коли немає війни, згідно законодавства.
So when you have an election, well, he says if we win, we'll let people vote. Otherwise, no. You vote when we feel like it, because ultimately we're completely in charge and make all the rules. Your job is to obey or be punished. That's our version of self-government. Self means me.
But God, you're so scary. I'm sure the Obama people inside the Biden writers are like, what a great idea.
Yeah.
We're at war, too. We're at war with Ukraine. War, yeah. So, yeah, we can't. That's just, how much easier. Just screw the whole 2024 thing. We're at war, so I am suspending all elections. I mean, seriously, guys, how long do you think it will be before they give that a shot, right? It's we're in war, so we can't question the government. We're in war, so we have to, like, let grown men ride naked in parades next to children because we're at war. We can't question that. We can't have parents talking at school board meetings because we're at war. Everybody's a domestic terrorist. I mean, I'm only kind of halfway joking. I could easily see somebody up there floating the idea, well, we're at war. Why don't we just cancel 2024?
Well, but
I thought the consultants would be upset.
Well, not really. I mean, what you really have to do is do like the old Soviet Union and make Election Day a party, which they did. I mean, one of the happiest days because they'd give out more rationing for vodka and whatever else. And just have it so rigged that the opposition gets 2.5%, and that's it.
It'll be
well,
fun.
That's what we're doing now. I mean, we'll give them a bigger percent. We'll let Trump have 44% or whatever it is. And then the machines will do all the counting, and we'll be all set.
Right.
They don't have to cancel things here in the U.S. The trouble
is... So you can still make their money.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game. There's a little bit of suspense. I'm only halfway joking here. So, you know, maybe Trump will win. Because you do have to ask, we'll play a Tucker soundbite on that again in a second. They don't seem to be particularly worried. I mean, Biden keeps making these horrible mistakes. You even have reporters, at least, although they don't write about it, and they're at least asking other or asking Corinne, whatever her name is, you know, well, what about this whole Hunter Biden? You know, I'm sitting here next to my father, and you better send us the money. I mean, which she doesn't answer. But
refers it to the White House counsel. Yeah. I refer that to all hard questions are referred to the White House counsel.
Yes,
and what do the White House counsel say?
Oh, I can't tell you.
You know, attorney-client privilege. Right, yeah. I really can't get it.
You know, but they don't seem, and I would agree with this, to be particularly worried about this. You would think, you know, previously that this would be kind of knocking Biden out, but it doesn't. I mean, I know some people think so, and some people think Gavin Newsom will come in, but I don't think so. And that's what really scares me, though, because... the reason they don't is because, and that's why, you know, once again, Facebook and everybody's gearing up to start censoring stuff, questioning the election. It's the Democrats control things. They control it through legal means. They control it through highly questionable means. They control it through billionaires. I mean, you name it, they control it. And Tucker Carlson gets at that too. If we could please play the Tucker soundbite number two.
So a whistleblower produces a text message showing that Joe Biden was in the room with his son when his son was selling influence to an enemy power, the Chinese government. And ABC's take on it, Joe Biden is a father first, take it or leave it. What accounts for a response like that? Well, that's the way you talk when you've got nothing to fear from an upcoming presidential election. You don't even bother to think of an excuse for your candidate because you don't need to. Your country has electronic voting machines. Joe Biden got 81,282,916 votes in 2020, and you're pretty sure he can do it again. In fact, you know he can. You're not worried.
And I mean, I think there is a lot of truth to that. What do you think?
Do you have the one where all these people are going, this whole thing proves one thing, that Joe Biden's a loving...
No, I didn't have that. Yeah, oh. That was the view.
Well, but there's various other ones. There was somebody, Nicholas Kristof, from the New York Times, was saying, you know, this is really about a love of a father for his son and all the other stuff.
It's going to be their excuse, right? That Hunter, because we'll play, Joe Biden denies now. Now, again, who knows? It's hard to tell with Joe Biden because he doesn't know what he's talking about either. But yeah, that's their thing. It's like Hunter was a crackhead, okay? Hunter's just a crackhead, and that's why, and Joe is standing by him. This is the port that you need to show to a crackhead sex addict.
Stand by the bribery.
Yeah, potential pedophile. You just need to stand by him. Now, and then invite him to state dinners, of course, and up to Camp David. Make sure that this guy, he's such a crackhead that he's serving in the board of Burisma. You've got all these emails. The guy sounds loopy and he sounds clearly, but he seems to be clear enough about how to get his money. He doesn't seem to be very confused about that. He said, I want the money tonight and I don't want to hear from some underling. If I need to hear from you guys or me and my father.
Chairman.
Yeah, that you're sitting here. So, I mean, they can't have it both ways, right? Either Hunter Biden is such an addict out of control that you can't believe anything he says. And all we can do is forgive him and stand by him.
Joe Biden wasn't in the room. Oh, okay. That day it's been proven that he was at
Hunter was at his dad's house. But that doesn't mean he was in the room. He could have been faking it.
They don't even say that. They just dodge the argument altogether and say, we need to be supportive of Hunter Biden. What they've done is they've turned Hunter Biden and Joe Biden into victims.
Yes,
Hunter Biden, guys, is the victim in all of this. We crazy conservatives have it backwards. And Joe Biden is a victim, too. He's just a loving father, you know, trying to look out for his son and all of the mean conservatives. But here was Joe Biden. I mean, I'm sure his staff was like, oh, God. Well, first, as somebody pointed out, he said Putin's losing the war in Iran,
Iraq,
which is like, no, different war. And he's like, what year is this? But some reporter shouted out to him, asking him, were you there sitting next to Hunter? And he answered. So let's play the Biden soundbite.
President Biden, how involved were you in your son's Chinese shakedown text message? Were you sitting there? Were you involved?
That was a little crabby, wasn't it? Now, theoretically, that could be problematic, right?
Well, it was a problematic.
Well, okay, I'm saying theoretically. Theoretically,
well, yeah, because Hunter's going to testify that he was. No, he's not. He said, I was just exaggerating.
Right, exactly.
He was in the other room.
He was, he didn't have any idea I was doing this. And I'm guilty, but it's only because I'm a crackhead. Drugs. So now, never mind, the drugs are illegal, of course. So, you know, and that was my choice. But yeah, I think you're right. They will blow that up. But I still bet they were like, they're not going to let him walk around any reporter lines for a while now until they explain to him, yeah, you can't talk about
I'm
that.
I'm sure he's been instructed not to, but sometimes he forgets.
He does forget.
That bunny rabbit. Random all the time.
Yeah, that's just you him there. So, you know, the sad thing is, and I know we talk a lot and we'll continue to talk a lot about election integrity, but I do think, the need for it, I guess, because that is crucial. It does worry me that they don't seem to be that scared. I mean, they want to put Trump in prison, but they want to shut us up, right? I think Trump is right on that. It's not Trump they're really after, it's us.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, talk about Peter Strzok having an insurance policy. This is they have the ultimate insurance policy, I think, now, don't you think?
I do.
So what do we do about it? Give up? Or from Leo, how many pardons is Biden going to end up giving to the Bidens? Can he pardon himself?
That's always a good question, probably.
Yeah, I would pardon myself. I would pardon myself. In fact, I would just say every time, I'd be like, I pardon myself and everybody right away, automatically. So, okay. One other thing I wanted to talk about, we got plenty of time. One other thing I wanted to talk about, guys, this is funny, but it's not so funny. This is the next COVID or COVID kind of thing. So Bill Gates, crazy Jeffrey Epstein-tied billionaire, has been pushing and funding and involved in the development of a malaria vaccine. Malaria is bad, bad, bad. So we need a vaccine, okay? So he's been pushing for that. Coincidentally, Bill Gates in 2021 released, this is not a joke, billions of genetically modified mosquitoes.
What are they modified for?
To fight disease.
I know, but how were they modified?
Well, they were modified so that they cannot breed, and they have little fluorescent paint things on them so they can track them, which is stupid because mosquitoes don't live very long, right? Or what if you splatted one? So these mosquitoes, the EPA assured us, are perfectly safe.
Yes.
Perfectly safe for humans. Perfectly safe for humans. Billions of them, genetically modified. I don't know why they had to release them to fight the disease. I guess they were going to eat the other mosquitoes or something. I'm not sure.
Mate with them.
Well, but they can't mate. I guess they can't reproduce.
Yes.
I don't know that much about mosquito romantics, so I'm not really sure what's all involved in that. I'm not sure. So they
do they have gender dysphoria?
Right. But at any rate, I'm not up to speed on that. But somehow or another, this is going to fight disease. So they released billions of genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida and Texas. Red states, by the way. But they released them in Florida and Texas. Well, guess what the CDC is now telling us? For the first time
ever
in 20 years, in 20 years, there has been an outbreak of malaria in people who have not traveled to other countries where they have malaria in the United States. And you get $10 from Chuck if you can guess which two states the malaria is occurring in. That's right. Texas, and Florida. So the same two states where Bill Gates was working on a malaria vaccine, by the way, thank goodness, he must be, who knew that there was going to be
Always ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time, Bill Gates once again. So in 2021, Bill Gates releases billions of genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida and Texas. Fast forward to 2023, and all of a sudden, malaria, for the first time really in a generation, is breaking out in Florida and Texas. But not to worry, because Bill Gates is this close to having a malaria vaccine. And guess what else works for malaria?
Chloroquine?
Yeah, uh-huh. But can't use that. Nope, need to use Bill's mosquito vaccine. Chuck says he could, a lab in Wuhan, of course. There you go. they could feed him Bud Light. From Charlene, you crossed the Rubicon so many times, I'm dizzy. Julie, you were correct. It's funny, but not funny. Well, and here's my prediction. So, there's money, right? And big pharma is money. Think what a perfect kind of COVID thing mosquitoes would be, right? We were out at the golf. We spent 2 days in the golf tournaments. Rev and both Chuck and I are covered with mosquitoes. Me less.
Even with
mosquito bugs. Even with bugs. So maybe these are the genetically modified ones.
They don't care about that stupid bug spray. In fact, that attracts them.
That attracts them. So you can get more bites. But I mean, think how perfect that would be, right? It's like all of a sudden we've got mosquitoes. I mean, where'd the malaria come from? It had to come from freaking mosquitoes. Thank God Bill Gates has a vaccine.
Mosquitoes don't care.
What's wrong with genetically modifying mosquitoes? I mean,
what happens is that the mosquitoes bite animals that have malaria and then carry that malaria to humans. They don't generate it itself.
Well, that's what the genetic.
There you go. They can do it on their own. Can be malaria.
Just like COVID theoretically came from bats and everybody. And they're like, let's just cut out that whole animal thing. Let's just go straight to infecting people. Look how well that worked. I mean, I'm only, once again, halfway joking there. I mean, it's perfect. Mosquitoes are pretty much in every state, right? I mean, talk about not being able to go outside in a lockdown. We'll have to wear like hazmat nets or something like that before the kids can go to school so that they don't get bit by a mosquito.
Teachers union know about this?
No, they're getting on it. And so, you know, next time, if you go outside, you could be killing grandma because you too could get bit by a mosquito, get malaria, and give it to your grandmother. And we certainly don't want
to
be
give it to a teacher
who could give it to a teacher who we certainly don't want to be fooling around with that chloroquine, which is effective against malaria. No. I mean, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, would you be shocked if in 2 years they're like, oh, we need to lock down malaria massive? They tried to get monkeypox, but that was too weird, right? That was too weird and kind of very specific in how it was transmitted. But mosquitoes, they're everywhere. And just think of it. Now, you know, you get a cough. I mean, people cough. The other day I was at a store and I coughed and the woman went like that. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have COVID. It's allergies.
Maybe
it's COVID. So that would be nice. So now you get a mosquito bite. You see somebody with a mosquito bite. You're like, oh, you know, you get a mosquito bite. You can't go outside. So I wouldn't be overwhelmingly shocked if they try that. Do you think the next? And then Bill Gates magically comes to the rescue.
Thank God. Ian Zuckerberg.
That's right. Jim, that sounds like a Raid commercial. Oh, and then they're from Charlene. Oh, they will just show the boy mosquitoes a picture of Rachel Levine. That's true. And then from Charlene, and then there could be the perception that there is malaria loose. He who controls a narrative which becomes perception, which then becomes truth, rules the world. Exactly. And you know, Bill Gates isn't stupid. He wants to come up with a vaccine for malaria. Tragically, we have conquered malaria in the United States. And so it's like, well, I know, let's just genetically modify a few mosquitoes, billions of mosquitoes.
Release them in these nothing awful red states.
Did these guys not see Jurassic Park, really, right? In Jurassic Park, they said, oh no, these dinosaurs cannot breed. And they're like, ooh, except for that little frog DNA that allows for like non-breeding reproduction. Ooh, I forgot to mention that we put that in there. I mean, how do they know what the mosquitoes with the little glow-in-the-dark paint on them. So you're telling me there's some scientists like wandering around with like little, I don't know, glow-in-the-dark glasses or something like that, looking to see if the mosquitoes have gone to other states. I don't know. I just think it is interesting that the only two places where Bill Gates released the genetically modified mosquitoes. A couple of years later, all of a sudden had malaria outbreaks where there haven't been any for a generation.
Know that. They
No, you're not going to see that on CNN, MSNBC. In fact, to do the research, it took me a while to find it. I can tell you, if you Google it, you don't find the connection at all. If you Google it, it's kind of hard to get to that.
For most of my life, from being a kid up to, I don't know what age, my news information came from the New York Times and the three major networks. That's where I got my news. And so, assuming I had continued that way, I mean, I'd just been, what Russian hoax? What do you mean that stupid disinformation laptop? I mean,
No, and we're going to be banned now for talking about the mosquitoes. Yeah. From Sandra, we who live in Southern Colorado are in big trouble. We have tons of mosquitoes and other creepy crawly bugs here. Sure, I mean, the mosquitoes are going to probably give it to them too. From Charlene, fear brings about transfer of wealth, which brings about total control. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and again, mosquitoes are everywhere, right? You can't avoid mosquitoes. You get, and how many times have we had this happen? You bet it.
I like the Rachel Levine plan.
We could show, just put posters of her all over the place.
on all the swamps.
From Charlene, what about the Supreme Court ruling on election laws? Didn't they fold?
Oh, yes, of course they did.
You want to explain that?
No, they just said, can you do racial gerrymandering?
Gerrymandering,
and also the concept that legislatures determine, and it's not up to the courts to decide at all. And the Supreme Court dropped those down in a 6-3 vote. So, here we go again. Everything will be objected to, saying, well, blacks got gerrymandered, or transgenders got gerrymandered, or whatever else there is. It's the Supreme Court, as always, if they push hard enough with all the charges of corruption, that it has an effect.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And then, protesting and threatening and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, kind of finally for the day, and we're hopping all over the place, but there's a lot going on. I don't know if you guys have heard of, it's Project 65, right?
Yes.
This is a, the Soros type funded ultra progressive project to go after lawyers who have anything to do with Trump or conservatives, and to try to get them disbarred, kicked out of, and basically threatening them and saying, if you take on these kind of conservative cases, if you take on Trump cases, we'll make sure that your law firm is boycotted, blackballed, and we'll
do everything,
and you're disbarred. And that's what's going on with John Eastman. John Eastman was a CU professor, was fired from CU. John Eastman, and we've talked, you work with John Eastman on the opt-out stuff, right?
Absolutely.
On January 6th, that whole January 6th thing, John Eastman is a constitutional lawyer, and he was advising the president and the vice president in terms of what their options were concerning certifying the vote, basically, right? I mean, and that's all. He wasn't saying, I think we should have everyone storm the Capitol, particularly anyone who's wearing horns but no shirt. Those people in particular should go first. I mean, he didn't say anything like that. He was just simply explaining, well, here are your options. So right now what's going on in California?
Eight-day trial
to disbar him. What's the basis for disbarring?
By giving such feloniously bad advice to the president that endangered the country.
And it was clear. I mean, we've talked to him about it. This is years ago, right? And he explained, no, here's what we did. It was my job. I was his lawyer. I was to say, here as a constitutional attorney, this is my interpretation of what the and it wasn't even crazy or anything like that, right? I mean, it was pretty straightforward. It's like, well, here's what you can do. Here's what you cannot do. And for that, they're trying to disbar him. Now, unlike the traitor, I'm sorry, but the traitor Jenna Ellis.
Can you blame her? I mean, they said they were going to burn her at the stake, so she had to recant.
They went after her, right? They went after Rudy Giuliani, and they threatened them, and they threatened their livelihood unless they back off, and she did.
Yep.
She now supports DeSantis, which I bet he doesn't hire her to be the lawyer. She's not particularly trustworthy.
Or a very good lawyer.
But that's an insidious thing, and it's really concerning how corrupt the legal and how corrupted the legal system has become. So they're like, if you happen to find a scrupulous lawyer out there, one with ethics, then you have this Project 65, which is heavily funded and is going after in every state anyone who, was involved in anything involving Trump, anyone who would be involved in challenging election laws, right?
Yeah, so everybody's going to get their license in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, but I mean, but if you have a license in Florida, you can't necessarily practice in Colorado, can you?
federally you can, or with Pro Hoc Vice, a local council.
Okay, but if you have, where you're going to get, but the point is, where you're going to get a local council?
That's, I mean, true. They'll disbar him.
Yeah, they'll just disbar them. I mean, so that's what they're trying to do, to cut off all avenues. So when Tucker goes back,
give him credit that they just are utterly unscrupulous. And Republicans, they're utterly weak, and it's just so awful to be on the weak side of things.
Right. From Charlene, the Eastman case is straight up Marxist. Jenna Ellis recanted on that, didn't she? Yes, she did. Didn't she help set precedent by recanting and folding? Sydney did not fold. No, Sydney did not fold. Sydney, I think, shut up. And I think actually, if you read Defending the Republic is a newsletter. You can go to her website. It's a pretty good newsletter she puts out.
Yeah, it is.
And she has, I think, hearings coming up on hers, but she has not folded. And from Sandra, there are tons of lawyers out there. Hopefully there are enough with ethics to fight this BS. Oops, forgot the assholes that are graduating Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, Georgetown. Yeah, there are enough who don't want to. God bless you. Thank you. When you know that they're going to come after you, and the thing is most, the problem you have is if you've got a law firm, the law firm doesn't particularly care, right?
What?
The law firm cares about the law firm, not, I hate to say this, because you were in law firms, a big law firm. Like, let's take Brownstein. Brownstein, they're not particularly overwhelmingly concerned with ethics, right? They're particularly overwhelmingly concerned with money.
And a human enterprise.
Yeah, and if you were to go to Brownstein, hey, I want to fight election. I know we represent Dominion, by the way, but I want to go ahead and challenge some of our election fraud here. Do you think Brownstein people would say, Chuck, that's so brave of you. Go ahead.
That's in theory what Chris Murray did, but maybe not.
Maybe not. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and to Thomas at BBS. You can catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Follow us on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. On Friday, I think we're going to have another guy who has written a book, Jamie Glasnow, talking about more of Barack Obama's legacy, because I think that's important. That's important.
And so, start partying before Friday, leading up to Party Friday.
Lead up Party Thursday.
Party Thursday.
Or Golf Thursday. That's for you tomorrow. Right. Hey, everybody, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you on Friday.
Bye-bye. Take care.